everyone. Welcome to Adoption Adventures. Thanks for listening. Hope everyone's doing well, keeping safe and healthy and happy. So, following last week's episode, where I was interviewed by the amazing Janelle Maloney, we talked about adopting older children and what that's like and everything like that. Since then, I had a couple of messages from a couple of different listeners asking me to go into a little bit more detail about regression, how this can look, and indeed sort of how you behave around that. So I thought I'd dedicate today's episode to talking about regression. It's a subject that I find really interesting, and something that over the years, Dad and I have really tried our hardest to kind of immerse ourselves in it, throw ourselves at it, and do everything that we can for little dude. So essentially, I did talk about this last week, but I'm going to just go over some of the basics again, just to help make sure that this episode is sort of easy to follow. Basically, as our children are growing up. Now, this can be even during pregnancy, and that's really, really crucial to understand. So even during pregnancy, there are things that our children would need. And obviously, once they're born, they will have needs. And it's our job and our duty to, as parents, birth parents, to ensure that those needs are met. Now, what happens with a lot of our children is a lot of those needs are not met for various reasons. But what then tends to happen is certain crucial things that our children would need are then missed. And I describe this as almost like the missing bricks in our children's lives. And it's just about trying to get our heads around what that actually looks like. So, for us, for our little dude, he lived with his birth family for 3.5 years, almost 4. And during that time, there were a lot of things that should have been in place that just weren't in place. And he would have missed those things. So, when I say he would have missed them, he wouldn't have consistently missed them. There would have been good days and bad days, you know, and we've got to remember that does exist. But as a general rule, he would have missed certain things, and certain things that he wouldn't necessarily sort of think about. You know, he wouldn't necessarily put into words and say, oh, you know, this is just a throwaway comment, so it's not necessarily specific to little dude. But he wouldn't necessarily say, oh, do you know what, when I was younger, I didn't get tucked into bed and I didn't get stories read to me. And it's then our job to fill those bricks and rebuild little dude and start just offering some of these things that were missed. Now, what's really interesting is for our children, you know, I've just used that as an example, but something that I said there was he wouldn't necessarily say that in words. And that's really, really key. For our children, they won't be able to find the words necessarily to say, you know, when I was growing up, I really didn't get this, and I kind of wish I did. Particularly for a newborn baby that didn't receive the right level of care in the womb, they're never going to be able to put into words what they missed. It's all going to be internalised, all going to be internal feelings. And it's our duty and it's our responsibility to try and kind of be like emotional detectives and think about that and plan in advance for all of those things that they may have missed. And be prepared to fill those gaps. This is a subject that comes up a lot during our training, and particularly during our friends and family training sessions. We find that with our children, we certainly found with little dude, that he needed to show us quite a few times that he was feeling it. He was feeling like something was missing. And that's when he would start to show regressive behaviour. And regressive behaviour is, I suppose the best way that I've found of describing it is when our children just act a lot younger than they really are. And their age, their physical age, kind of goes out the window. They throw that out the window, and then they become whatever age they are at that moment mentally. And I guess it's our responsibility, it's our duty to react to whatever age you're seeing presented to you. So there were times whereby a really good example is early days. I was putting little dude to bed, got cuddled and snuggled up with him, and I was sort of tickling his back as he was laying in his bed, and we were just sort of sitting chatting. It was very soothing, and I kind of just sort of stroked, ever so gently, stroked my fingertips across his cheeks. And as I did so, he adjusted his head and he put my thumb in his mouth and he started to suckle. And initially I thought, oh, that's not what you'd class as, I'm doing air quotes here again, sort of typical 7-year-old behaviour. But you know what? I'm just going to go with it. Now, he probably did that for, I can't imagine it was even 10 seconds that he did this for. But it's like, okay, not a problem. You need to do that. We didn't talk about it. We didn't go into detail. We just accepted it. And then when he stopped, we just moved on. Following night, getting ready for bed, tucked him in again. Again, very sensory sort of bedtime. Same happens again. Sort of the hand close to the face, he did it again. And it was probably shorter this time. But again, he needed it, not a problem, I'm there. Following night, I did the same routine because I got it into my head. I'd spoke to Dad and I said, you know, this is clearly something that he's going through. He's clearly regressed. He's feeling that something has missed here. You know, perhaps the sort of, I think the correct term is a pacifier, but I always was brought up knowing them as a dummy. So perhaps he didn't have a dummy or a pacifier to use properly as he was growing up. So perhaps he was missing that sort of relationship with it. I don't know. But it was one of those moments of opportunity where we could show him that if that was something that he needed, we were going to go there and we were going to support him through it. So night number three, again, nice sensory sort of bath time, bedtime, and then I sort of did the same behaviour again and offered my thumb again, to which little dude turned around and went, "What are you doing? I'm not a baby," which kind of sort of stopped me in my tracks. And it was like, yeah, of course you're not. No, I know that. And actually that was the first time we addressed it. We never spoke about it other than that. And what was really interesting was that was the last time that he needed that, and it's the last time that he sort of made a push for that. And I guess the big thing there was not turning it into a big thing, not making it into a big deal. Definitely not trying to make him embarrassed about it, definitely not trying to show him up, and also not really having to address it. You know, not feeling the need to go there and delve deep into why is he doing this. It doesn't matter. It was something that he needed, and he needed it to feel safe and secure. And we told him from the early days, you know, if ever you feel that you need to do something, that's absolutely fine. We are never going to be embarrassed of you. And I remember him sort of checking in on that and testing us and said, well, okay, because I said, you know, I heard of a particular young girl. She was around about little dude's age at the time. I said, you know, she asked her mum for a bottle, like a baby's bottle, and to be fed. And we said, you know, even if it was something like that, we're okay with that. That's absolutely fine. And little dude sort of tested and said, okay, well, could I have a bottle? And we both, of course you can, absolutely, we'll go out and we'll get one, and you can even come with us and we can actually say that we're buying it for sort of a newborn, so as you can help us to pick the one that you would want, or we can just pick one up for you. But at this point, he sort of laughed it off and said, I don't need that, don't be silly. But we said, you know what, it's not silly to ask, and if you want us to buy that just so as we've got that, that's okay. If that's something you need, that's not a problem. And over the years, I've heard loads of different examples and loads of different sort of families that have gone through the exact same thing. And it's just about our children needing to feel safe, and secure, and enough so that they can go back and they can be that toddler just for a moment. And they can go back and they can live that experience the way that they would like to do it. I almost see it like they're repairing, they're sort of filling the gaps and they're filling the voids. And they kind of want to go back and put some really nice memories in the place where there are vacant spaces. And what better way to create a good memory than to do it with us, so as they can recall it. And what's really important is, or I suppose what's difficult and is important. When a toddler regresses and acts like a baby and makes baby noises and things like that, that's generally, that's seen as okay. Society doesn't tend to have an issue with that. When it's a 14-year-old or a 10-year-old and they're showing regressive behaviour, that's when society tends to have a little bit more of an issue with it. That's when society kind of looks on and goes, is that okay? Or is there a problem here? Now, I guess the luxury you have is that as our children grow up, they start to become more socially aware. They start to look around their surroundings and think, actually, I don't want to behave in this way because it might embarrass me. Therein lies the challenge of what we have to do as parents, is we have to let our kids know that no matter what, if they feel that they need to go there, it is our duty to go there. We've been in lockdown for 7,000 weeks now, so it feels like it was a longer time ago, but it might have been last year. We had to go to B&Q and pick something up, and we said to little dude, do you want to come with us? Maybe we'll pick up some lunch. Yeah, absolutely brilliant, great. And as we did, we went, and as we were walking into the store, little dude said, oh, can we get a trolley? And Dad was like, oh, we really don't need one. We're not picking that much up. And little dude looked at me and went, yeah, but trolleys are so much fun. I was like, do you know what? They actually are. Let's get a trolley. So Dad kind of walked on, and before he knew it, we were running into the shop, and little dude was in the trolley and I was running with the trolley and pushing him in the trolley, and we were having an absolute ball, and little dude's smile was from ear to ear, and it was really nice. Now, at this point, Dad was like, what are you doing? You know, the pair of you really need to grow up. And I kind of sort of said, you know, no, this is beyond fun. What you need to do is grow down. You need to have a little bit of a chill and enjoy yourself. And we then proceeded to go around all of the aisles and really, really muck about and be absolute buffoons. But it was really interesting because Dad was really struggling with it. He was struggling with this particular regressive behaviour. I don't know if he was struggling with my regressive behaviour or with little dude's regressive behaviour, but he was showing that he was struggling with it, which was almost like a red rag to a bull for me. It merely amplified my behaviours. I suppose I could say subconsciously I wanted to demonstrate to little dude that even if someone is embarrassed, it really doesn't matter. We will go there. But I guess I've also got to be honest and say that it was really just good fun to wind Dad up. But as we was running around acting like buffoons, the greatest moment was we ran down one particular aisle and then bumped into some friends that we hadn't seen for about 6 months, and they saw us mucking about like this, and this sort of made Dad even more tense. I was like, oh, just grow up. But they kind of went with it, and they was like, oh, you look like you're having so much fun, we want to do the same. I was like, yes, you do. Yes. But the crucial thing there is to understand that if our children need to go there, it's our duty to go there. And you will find things that are actually really difficult to endure. So as sort of little dude joined us, there were two things. There was one thing for me and one thing for Dad that we really, really struggled with when it came down to regressive behaviour. So for me, it's baby talk. I really, really struggle with anyone who is not a baby or a toddler doing baby talk. I'm okay with kind of, I'll say I'm okay, still, it's still not great, but I'm okay with sort of parents talking, using baby talk to babies. I can kind of get on board with that. If there's not a baby in the room, there is no need for that baby talk. Just stop it. So that was one thing that was a trigger for me, really struggled with that. And Dad really struggled with, so when a toddler has a really fun experience, 9 times out of 10, as they finish that great experience, so if you're like, I don't know, you're throwing them up in the air, or you're doing something particularly silly, as a general rule, they get the giggles and then they'll say, again, again. And they want you to just relive that moment because they're having so much fun with it and they want to capture this in its entirety. Whenever that would happen, Dad could not cope. Okay, so if little dude would say, again, again, Dad, he did not cope well when that happened. But in the same breath, when little dude did baby talk, I really couldn't cope with that. So we kind of worked out a little signal. We kind of worked out in a way whereby we said, right, if we're both there, and so if I was with little dude and he started doing baby talk, I would have kind of like a signal to Dad for him to come into the room and kind of take over parenting at that moment to allow me to go into the other room and scream into a pillow. And again, if Dad was spending time with little dude and all of a sudden calls out again, again, that would be like the bat signal going out to me. I would run into the room and go, what did we do the first time? Let me do it again and again. And Dad would then leave the room and get out of there. Because they were limitations for us. They were things that we found frustrating, couldn't cope well with. So we found a way to overcome that. Now, the deal was, obviously, if either of us were on our own and that behaviour started, we just had to suck it up and deal with it, and we just had to do it. And we were both okay with that because it was quite sort of limited on how often that would happen. So we were both fine. But these were behaviours that we had to look out for and had to sort of change our behaviour for. And the really interesting thing that I felt is, and it's so hard to put this into words, but what I found is when I see regressive behaviour with little dude, I actually watch his facial features alter. And it's almost like his face turns into a face of a toddler. It's so difficult to explain. And until you've actually seen it, you wouldn't know it. But it's real. They morph into a toddler. And I've seen my 14-year-old morph into a toddler, and it's really, really interesting to observe. And when they do that, the worst thing that we can do is tell them to grow up, stop being a baby or anything like that, because that's not healthy for them. They need to know that they can go back and repair these little missing memories, and it's our job to do that. And what happens is as you do these things, you then watch them transform back and become stronger afterwards. And it is so beautiful to observe. It really, really is. Now, what's really, really interesting here is I've seen this within our family, and I've seen some members of my extended family really reject this notion of regression and really belittle little dude when he regresses. And I've seen other people within the network really embrace it. The really beautiful thing here is it's given me the opportunity to share with you the different ways of working and what works and what doesn't, because I've watched it. I've watched two people start at the same time with their relationship with little dude and have the exact same opportunities to grow a relationship. And one really defining factor was one of them was prepared to regress with him and the other wasn't. Now, years later down the line, the person who went there is Nana. And those of you that have listened to the Nana episode will truly appreciate just how close their relationship is. Those of you that haven't, I would urge you to go and have a listen to that episode. But I can say with no seed of doubt that Nana is one of Little Dude's favourite people in this world. The other person who chose not to go there just didn't get those experiences and has now not got such a strong experience and such a strong relationship with Little Dude, and now is seen, I guess, quite poorly from Little Dude, and they've got quite a low expectation of this person, which is a shame because it wasn't necessary. But if we go with our kids, if we do what they need and give them those experiences, they become stronger, they become braver, they become better. And it's really, really important to understand that with our kids. I think when it comes to regression, it is a difficult one. It's difficult to sort of to know when it's happening, what's right, and why we do it. But ultimately, so another example, and this hasn't happened to us, but it's an example that I've seen. I'm using this because I'm trying to articulate what I'm trying to get at here. So a child who is around about 14 steps forward and puts their foot in front of you, and the lace is undone. They say, "Right, can you do my lace up?" Now, at that moment, one of three things is happening. One, they're being a lazy little tyke. It's very possible. Two, they are testing you. So you promised that if I needed your help and if I needed to regress, you would be there. Let's put that to a test. I want to make sure that you are still prepared to do that. The final option is that actually they've switched to toddler brain and they can no longer remember how to tie a shoelace for that moment. They have not got the cognitive ability. And they're probably quite embarrassed about that. They're probably sitting there going, "I know I can do this. I did this yesterday. But right now I have no idea how to do it." Now, when we look at those three options, do any of them qualify for a good enough reason to say no? I don't think so. And I think I think it's our duty to respond and to respond positively and give our kids what they need in that moment. And I guess, I mean, I could go on and on and on about various sort of examples that we have seen with Little Dude, and sort of continue to see, because it doesn't just stop. So, you know, we're currently in lockdown. We're currently in very sort of uncertain times and very different times. What's been interesting is, during this time, Little Dude has almost forgotten that he's supposed to be a teenager and it's not cool to give his dad a hug anymore. Because we had definitely moved into that. He did not think it was cool to hug me anymore. Which made me incredibly sad. But actually, these last couple of weeks, he has been missing sort of social interaction, and he's been feeling a little bit different, as have we all. And he's actually started to come in for hugs and ask us to go for walks and ask to spend some time together. And the other night we were watching a film, he was on the two-seater, Dad and I were on the three-seater with a space in between us, and he turned around and said, you know, we could have a family cuddle like we used to. Yes, we could. Let's do it. And he came over and he sat in between us and we all just cuddled up and we watched a film together. Now, you could argue that that's regressive behaviour, you could argue that that's just bonding time. Essentially, it was just something that he needed. And when really, really looking at these things, how nice is that? How lovely is it that I can throw my arms around my almost 15-year-old and tell him that I love him and he say the same back? I still get to tuck him in at night, every night. We have those moments, and that is a real beautiful time. And I think because we were strong enough to say, sure, whatever you need, it gave him the strength to ask. And by asking, it's made him a better person, it's made him a stronger person. So I guess regression is all about letting them be their inner child. And be the inner child yourself. Enjoy being a kid. It's great fun. But relax with this sort of thing. So that's kind of all I feel that I need to do to cover regression and regressive behaviour. But if any of you are finding that you'd like me to cover any more details, any more examples, then please just drop me a line and I'll do a follow-up episode on it. More than happy to talk more about it. As always, you can find us on our social handle, so Adoption Advent 1 on Twitter, Adoption.Adventures on Facebook and Instagram, or drop us an email at adoptionadventures123@gmail.com. Excellent stuff. Well, thanks very much, and I shall speak to you all next week.